Hopeful jobs news. More jobs were created in July than May and June combined.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The economy added 117,000 jobs in July, while the nation's unemployment rate fell slightly to 9.1%. Now, the markets have been all over the place with that news, and we're going to explore that in just a moment. But first, let's turn to Jill Schlesinger, editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us from New York, as she is every Friday morning. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So how does this report affect the volatile markets?
Well, we did need a bit of good news to jolt us out of that panic-induced selling from yesterday. But, you know, now we're going to get to the big stuff. The investment community is going to ask two big questions. Is the U.S. economy growing enough for companies to make money going forward? And will the European debt crisis be contained?
How should you and I and our audience, Jill, respond to this news? I mean, give us your personal finance expert opinion.
You know, I used to advise people for 15 years, and so I developed the 9 steps to investor sanity. You can see it on moneywatch.com. But here's the first three things. Take a deep breath. Yeah. Do not make a trade. Repeat step number one. You should not be doing much with your portfolio. You should have a well-diversified, balanced portfolio that will see you through it. If you are panic-stricken, you've got too much risk in that portfolio, and you've got to do something, but don't do it in the middle of a washout.
I'm taking a deep breath now. You think we're headed into another recession? What's going on with that?
I'm too much of an optimist. I don't think we're going to head into another recession. Unfortunately, for the 25 million who are unemployed or underemployed, it doesn't matter. We still need to get these folks back to work, and that's the key.
Unemployment rate, 9.1%, still high.
Too high, and too many people just not finding good jobs that they can get into. And that actually will be the key to getting this recovery spread out across the United States.
Jill Schlesinger at CBS Money Watch. Jill, have a great weekend.
You too.
Let's do the numbers. We're back down now after being up earlier today as much as 170 points. Now the Dow is down 35 points, a third of a percent, at 11,347. The NASDAQ down nearly a percent as well. Viacom today said higher cable ad sales and TV show licensing helped profits rise by about $500 million. Well, not to dwell or anything on yesterday's massive sell-off, but we did see a 5% loss in value for the S&P and the NASDAQ, and the Dow plummeted 512 points. That had a lot of folks scratching their heads. Well, Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports why it's so hard to ask why.
You sit there watching your 401k dribble down. Of course you're going to ask yourself why. Why did the market tank? So you turn on the TV.
It's obvious that Europe is the story here. We're seeing banks liquidating.
Back home, weekly unemployment claims showed little improvement.
Fear took over.
We're hearing words like alarming, panic, devastating.
But what exactly were we so afraid of yesterday? As David Hefty of Hefty Wealth Partners points out.
I mean, none of this stuff's new. We know about all the major stories, right? We already know about debt in Greece. We already know about the debt problem in the United States.
Yeah, we know all that. So why does the market choose Thursday, August 4th to plunge 500 points? Lawrence White is an economist at NYU Stern School of Business.
I mean, the markets are always trying to anticipate what's going to happen tomorrow, but also trying to figure out what do other people think is going to happen.
He says it's not that millions of investors all decided yesterday, okay, time to panic. It's more like a lot more people thought that others would. The thing we have to fear is the fear of fear itself. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
To the Middle East now, the Palestinian Authority in July cut government workers' salaries in half. That's because promised donations haven't come through. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
In the garden of a tea house in Nablus, Khalid Abad is playing backgammon with a friend. He used to come here almost every day, but he can't afford to come that often anymore. He works for the Palestinian Authority's health department, and like all public employees here, he only got half his salary.
I've cut everything in my life in half.
Khalid Abad isn't only cutting back at the tea house. He stopped paying for his telephone, and other bills are piling up, too.
The landlord has been asking me about the rent. I'm doing what the Palestinian Authority is doing to us. I'm making promises.
The Palestinian government does have money. It's a question of how it can spend it. 40 minutes from the tea house in Ramallah, construction workers are finishing three big buildings that'll house government offices. Asad Khatib, who's the spokesman for the Palestinian Authority, says the government can't stop construction to pay salaries.
The room of maneuvering is limited because most of the projects, especially infrastructure projects, are financed by earmarked money coming from specific donors for specific projects.
Among the donors who haven't paid up are Arab countries, which need the money at home to deal with the ongoing unrest in this region. Khatib says whatever the reasons, the missing salaries are hurting the Palestinian economy. That's because the government is the biggest employer here, about 150,000 workers. But about a million people are thought to depend on those salaries.
The salaries are a significant part of the liquidity that is usually pumped into the market. And when this liquidity is shrinked by half, it will affect the demand in the market.
Rolling the dice onto the backgammon board, Khalid Abad, the health inspector, says the government is playing with his life.
He
says, we're their people. The government has to take responsibility. In Nablus, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, New Hampshire police are looking for a thief who stole $90 and a GPS device from a woman's purse in a grocery store. The man apparently felt so bad about what he'd done, he later returned those items. He went to the woman's house, gave her the $90 back with interest and a new cord for her GPS. He also left a note before he ran off, said he was sorry, had fallen on hard times, and he signed it, stupid. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.